Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and in the studio, as usual, is our host and CEO of Crown Financial Ministries, Chuck Bentley. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Well, Dave, welcome to the program to you, and more importantly, welcome to all of our listeners. Glad to have you on for the journey today.
Well, today we get to part two of our interview with Brandon Pope. And by the way, if you missed yesterday's program, you'll want to go to crown.org and listen to that program or even sign up for the podcast. And then you'll get all the programs and you'll never miss a single one. But Brandon shared a little bit of his professional life yesterday. He is the author of Spiritual Lessons from Wall Street, and today we're going to get a little bit of the behind the scenes of how this book was birthed and what God did in his heart to teach him some spiritual lessons from his years on Wall Street.
You know, Dave, what I love about Brandon's testimony is that he is a professional with an entire career advising people on wealth management. In fact, he advises some of the wealthiest people in America. But what he discovered is that you can be materially wealthy but spiritually in poverty. And Brandon discovered that in his own heart and life. He woke up one day and realized, I've achieved my goals in life, but yet I'm empty. And so his story has great credibility with me, not simply because he understands Wall Street, but because he discovered that there are financial principles that transcend man's wisdom. And you're going to hear him give that story today. It's just very, very inspiring.
Well, Chuck, you know, here at Money Life, we want to give people help, hope, and insight. And that wisdom you just spoke about is something that we're passionate about, is sharing God's wisdom with our listeners so they can live lives that are more productive and more in line with God's Word. And you've got a little insight from God's Word today.
Dave, so often we think that what is contained in God's Word is simply spiritual truth and it helps us in our soul. Well, there's so much practical truth in God's Word, and here's an example of that. It's from Ephesians 4:28. The Lord said, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but," and here's how practical it gets, "they must work." That's pretty practical, isn't it? In other words, there's a solution to the problem you've got. Quit stealing and go to work. And then listen to this. Do something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. In one simple verse, the Lord says, go to work, do something useful with a purpose, and then use what you have to help others in need. How about that for being practical, Dave?
Well, thanks, Chuck. And in just a moment, our guest, Brandon Pope, will be joining us. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically-based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. The 6-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Brandon Pope. Brandon is the senior investment advisor for a global wealth management firm and a professional on Wall Street. Brandon, great to have you back today.
Happy to be here.
You have a wonderful testimony, and you've made a career out of being in financial counseling, investment advising. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience on Wall Street.
Well, it's interesting. It started back in 1987, as a matter of fact. I was in a finance class at the University of North Carolina in the fall. In fall 1987, Chuck, you know better than I do.
That's right. What a time.
So I'm in finance. I'm in an undergraduate business course. And following that crash, I'm sitting in a finance one-on-one sort of course. And the instructor walks in, and we're all thinking, now what? I mean, we just had a 20-30% decline. And the professor looks around and says, hey, guys, what do we do now? I mean, what do we do now? And I looked around and looked around, and folks were kind of looking down at their desk. I raised my hand, and I said, how about we buy? And he said, wonderful, Brandon, absolutely. I'll tell you what, see me after class. It's exactly what he said to me. And I think from that point on, I wanted to be dealing in Wall Street and dealing in wealth and dealing in advisory. Now, I'm not sure exactly that that was that moment, but I knew from that point forward that I had a knack, perhaps, for that business. And I've spent 20 years. I've been doing this now for about 21 years in it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the camaraderie of my brethren. I also enjoy the clients. I enjoy the questions. Yes, I enjoy getting to know the families and their objectives and what they're trying to accomplish in their lives. So I like being a part of it.
Well, Brandon, you advise some of the wealthiest people in America, and a lot of folks today think that being wealthy and greedy have to go hand in hand. But you've started to see that completely differently. How do you respond to that kind of accusation today that all wealthy people are greedy?
That's a difficult one, because I think that our country tends to have that view, and perhaps I had that view for many years, that you had to be greedy, you had to be in pursuit, you had to be out after money or after wealth to actually obtain it. And I think the transformation I've gone through the past couple of years made me recognize that that's not the case at all, that wealth does not equal greed. It doesn't have to equal greed. And wealth can be financial assets, it can be spiritual assets, and wealth is a much broader definition than just money. And so I think when you're talking about Wall Street, and again, going back to 1987 with that movie that came out titled Wall Street, you know, Greed is Good, I think that there's an association there. But at the same time, I think, again, wealth can be many things to many people. And I think the most recent couple of years in the stock markets that have us realize, wait a second, wealth and financial assets can be very troubling, and it can be very unfulfilling. And so they're out looking for different sorts of wealth, and that's what I'm encouraged by.
Well, Brandon, people have a hard time accepting that wealth is not fulfilling, because in our culture we associate that with self-fulfillment, that it's your dream come true, the more money that you have. And you actually started out your career with a goal to become wealthy, and you achieved many of the goals that you set for yourself. What did you discover about wealth? What did you discover about success, Brandon, that caused you to write this book?
Well, I think contrary to what the American public probably thinks, money cannot buy happiness. It just can't. And I believe I'm living truth of that. I'm living truth and proof of that fact that money doesn't buy happiness. And so I was on a 20-year mission to become wealthy, just like my clients. I wanted what they had. And I guess what I realized in the summer of 2007 or so was that I was completely empty after having that success, and that all of my goals were really geared towards success and geared towards money and possessions and pursuit. And it wasn't until I woke up in that summer and began to realize, really at the peak of the stock market, Chuck, as you know, I began to realize that I was empty. There was a void. There was something truly missing in my life. And that's what prompted me to write the book. That's what prompted me to try to live out a faith I had outside of 2 hours on a Sunday. And what I began to do was recognize that it was that collection that really made me empty. It was that pursuit that made me empty. And I needed to really turn the table.
Well, your book, Spiritual Lessons from Wall Street, is actually a very transparent inside look of your heart, because this is really the basis of your personal journal, wasn't it, Brandon?
It really was. This is a series of journals that I had been writing in for the past 2 or 3 years that became this book. And so it wasn't a book I set out to write, but I think at the end it was a book that needed to be written. And I think it was a book that needed to be written for those of us who perhaps are on that pursuit or on that train that is out trying to grab and capture this American dream. And I'm just trying to say, hey, wait a second. Not only do I deal with people that are wealthy and successful and have the same emotions, but I lived it and I was caught up in that. And that, you know, and it was that sort of emotion that I began to expose, and I began to recognize it in myself. And that really prompted me to get out and try to live this faith that we all have. And that faith is born out, and that journey is born out in that book there. And it really started off on a mission trip, frankly, in the fall of 2007.
Well, tell us what happened on that mission trip, Brandon. What changed your perspective that caused you to realize that the goal of success that you had been pursuing and had actually attained to some degree was not true wealth?
Well, I think we all go through periods of time in our lives where we're trying to find meaning. We're trying to figure out what we're here for. We're trying to make a determination of what God is asking us to do on this earth. And I think in the summer and the fall of 07, I was searching. I was really trying to figure out, wait a second, I've got success. I've got wealth. I've got a wonderful family and kids. And so why am I so unhappy? Why am I empty? And why is there a void? And quite frankly, I accepted an invitation to go on a mission trip to Juarez, Mexico. And if you know a guy like me, and I wear suits every day, and
right, you wear cufflinks, and you look dapper, you look the part, Brandon. I mean, you look like you are right off of Wall Street.
Well, I'll tell you, what's interesting is getting in a bus, crossing the border, heading into Juarez, Mexico for a guy like me was crazy, absolute crazy. And again, I don't know what I was looking for. I don't know what I was searching for when I went there. But what I recognized when I got back was that I couldn't turn that off. When I got back, and I walked in Monday morning at 8 in the morning, back into Wall Street per se, I could not turn that emotion of what I saw off. And I think what I began to realize was that there's extreme poverty and extreme wealth, and that I sat between the two. If I was willing to see the poverty, and I'm very willing to deal with those that are wealthy, then I'm sitting in between those two, and I'm trying to make a connection. It was that connection for me that I was missing. And it was that connection that I think that brought about that book in terms of having us recognize the assets that God truly gives us, be it time and money. And that's what the book is really centered on.
Brandon, you have simplified it that God has made us stewards of time and money. And he wants us to use those things to advance his cause and his glory. And I can't wait to hear the rest of your story. We're going to talk more with Brandon Pope when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back after this.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. Our guest is Brandon Pope, author of Spiritual Lessons from Wall Street. You know, Brandon, I so totally identify with you. Many of our faithful listeners know that I went through an experience similar to what you're describing, where one day I looked around and I realized that I had the things of the world, but I was missing something. And my testimony was I tried to be the first guy that could successfully serve God and money. When God said that it was impossible to do, I thought I was going to pull that off. But you step out of your Wall Street context. You get to Juarez. God begins to speak to your heart. And he condenses stewardship into this very simple essence of managing time and money. What has that come to mean to you since that trip in 2007? How do you approach life differently now?
Well, I think what I began to realize in a real condensed fashion is that God asks us to do two things, and that is to love him and to love others. And if you really break down, I think, our mission in life, or at least mine, that's what it is. And that is to glorify him in anything that we do and to love and enjoy others and serve others. And in the midst of serving and giving and having gone to Juarez, but you don't have to just go to Juarez, just go to your own, areas in your own town. What I began to realize is that God gives us two things on this earth. That's time and resources. A lot of time or a little time. A lot of resources or little resources. But we both have them. We all have it. And it is the use of time and money in focusing on God and others that I think is what really crystallized it for me. And that is just, it's just recognizing that that is what he truly asks us to do. And we've got a choice in this world. And I think that choice is ourselves or others. And it can't be any more simpler than that. And I think many of us choose ourselves at the expense of others, and if we could just choose others, we'll find out that we don't have to expend ourselves, that we can restore meaning to our lives by not only living out God's dream for us, but living it out for others and using those assets and those resources to do it.
You know, Brandon, you have spent a lifetime helping people build a wealth portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really switched to helping people to see that there's a spiritual portfolio. And that's what your book is about, building our spiritual portfolio. Unpack that for our listeners. What does that come to mean to you?
Well, I think a spiritual portfolio is, in essence, deposits of time and money. Again, I'm a financial guy, right? I need to put things in a financial context. So, you know, when you say time and money, what does that really mean? Well, for me, it means making deposits. And I think God asks us to make deposits. And he asks us to make deposits to a portfolio that he really wants us to have. And he wants us to nurture and he wants us to focus on. And so we have two deposit sources. One is time and one is money. Time being good deeds. And that's as simple as smiling at people. Or that, you know, that's as simple as holding folks' hand as they cross the street. I mean, very, very normal, simple, good deed sort of things. So that's kind of deposit number one. And the second one is service, and that's mission. That is getting out and truly serving and truly marking your calendar for time served for others. Now, the resources piece or the money piece has two deposits as well. You talk a lot about this with your program, and that is tithing as one deposit and what I call generous giving. So those are the four deposits that make up a spiritual portfolio. And I think, again, it comes back to ourselves or others and how are we going to spend our time, selfishly or not, and our resources, selfishly or not, in ourselves or others.
Well, in your book, you started to refer to God somehow as your bank teller, to keep it in a financial context. What does that mean, Brandon?
God wants us to make deposits. He wants to not only witness those during our lives, but I think he wants to tell us about them later. I think he wants in eternity to show us the fruit of that labor and the fruit of the time served and the fruit of those resources. Again, I think God gives resources to those who are going to make God use of it. And I think a lot of us get caught up in our own selfish interests, and we forget to focus on others. And I think God, you know, God is, at least visually for me, I view it as an individual there that just gladly accepts these deposits that we give to others, you know, as a bank teller of sorts.
Oh, I love that, Brandon. And I love the turn of phrase there that God doesn't just entrust us to make good use of it, but to make God use of it. And I think we often err in that very simple distinction that it's okay in God's eyes if we just do something good with it. But you're seeing God actually wants it used for his purposes, not just good purposes.
Absolutely. I think, you know, again, I think he asks us two simple questions, and that is to love him and love others. And I firmly believe that the American public are beginning, you know, we're beginning to look at this differently. We're beginning to, you know, through the past 12 and 18 months, beginning to recognize that, wait a second, maybe the things that I had at the top of my list or on my balance sheet that were so important, maybe they aren't really. Maybe it's in recognizing those around me and those relationships, my neighbors, my family, my siblings, my kids, that we need to spend time with. We need to ensure that we're stewarding that time to the benefit of God.
You know, Brandon, a lot of people are scared right now, and fear actually dries up generosity. I would say it's the number one cause for generosity to stop flowing. How do you advise people who are afraid of being generous in this economy?
Well, you know, I think that's a tough one because fear is an extremely motivating but yet debilitating emotion, because fear can keep you from doing the things that you know in your heart of hearts you should be doing. And so what I try to do is make it simple. Again, I'm a simple guy. I try to line up my checkbook and to ensure that checkbook has the following four features. And that is, in this order, give, save, spend, and hopefully give again. And I think it's that first piece of that first giving, that tithing, whatever that means to, you know, you and your family, that has to happen, that God asks us to share those resources. It's in that saving and spending piece that we need to focus on where our interest lies, so that we can ensure that even in bad economic times or, you know, in recessionary times, that we can continue to give, but at the same time steward some resources for ourselves. And if we can, give again, because I think that's what God's asking us to do. And if it's not money, it's time. So you can certainly do that as well. God just wants our hearts changed with a stewardship mentality.
Brandon Pope, author of Spiritual Lessons from Wall Street, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.
It's been great having you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, in this last few moments, I want you to talk about something that has been nearly 3 years in the making and maybe has taken a decade or two off your life in the process of seeing it come to fruition. But tomorrow is a very big day here at Crown.
You know, Dave, you wait 9 months for a child to be born, but this product has taken almost four times that long. It's been almost 3 years, and I feel a little bit like a proud daddy because the Lord birthed an idea. He birthed a dream in my heart to create a ministry tool that would be very easy to transfer His truth and His principles and bring Him glory in a very relevant, cutting-edge way. And tomorrow, that product is finally going to be released into the hands of the capable body of Christ to see where God's going to take it and who all He is going to touch and what He wants to do with it. In fact, we're going to celebrate tomorrow by interviewing Dean Jones right here on Money Life about the making of this film, Learning Experience, because he's the star of the program. But Dave, we took God's Word and made adaptations of it, dramatic adaptations of it that causes His principles to absolutely come alive. And you can now plug it in anywhere that DVDs can be shown and help other people discover God's truth. Dave, we couldn't be more excited about it. It really is a benchmark moment in the history of the ministry. We've all worked so hard to make it available. And I want to talk to our listeners because right now I hope to rally God's foot soldiers, those of you who care about other people, who want to make a difference, who want to take this tool and become its champion, because the tool is not what is important. What's important is the message buried in that tool, the message that God is our provider. That's the theme, and each one of these six stories points people back to that truth from His Word. And what I'm asking for you to do is to be willing to be a champion. Start praying for this project right now and its release. We want to see it impact people all across the United States and all across the world. We also need people who are not only going to pray for this project, but are willing to be facilitators of the small group audiences that it's intended for. All of you can gather a group. You can gather members of your family. You can gather people at work. You can gather people at church. You can start to use this tool. And I believe once God's foot soldiers really begin to rally around this tool and become its champion to get this message out, that we're going to see it go far and wide. So I'm so excited about it. I look forward to hearing from you. I hope you're one of the first who will call me and share your testimony of how God's using it in your area.
Well, if you'd like to order your copy of the God Provides short film Learning Experience, call toll-free 1-800-249-6320. That's 800-249-6320. On behalf of Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.